All right, good morning to all the wonderful people in church and those that are watching online. We're so glad to be here and share a message after a long haul. It's been, for those of you guys who have been around for the past few weeks, we've had our 50th anniversary, so Pastor Ken and I had a long break of speaking, which was really nice. It was really good to hear other people come and share and just be a part of the celebrations. So I'm happy that I am actually sharing a message on Father's Day, because Father's Day is very special to me personally. First time I became a father was 12 years ago when our boy Luca decided to arrive in July of 2010. And so this July, he's becoming a teenager. So I will need extra prayers for all of my faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, because teenagers, I hear they're a different cup of tea, whatever that means. I think we'll be just fine, and we'll just carry on. But this morning, I have a message for all the fathers, but also for all of those people that are taking care of children, caregivers, you can call them. There's a lot of single moms nowadays as well. Because all of the principles that I'll be sharing this morning can be applied to that. And I was just recently asked, actually, before I say that, we have some new fathers in the house this morning. And I just want to congratulate all the new fathers that have had their little ones in the past year. Happy Father's Day. It's so wonderful that we have our church growing that way as well with little ones. And it was funny, we were just driving down to church this morning. I get picked up, and we're talking about, Marco asked Phil, so yesterday, was it yesterday? He asked him, like, what does it mean? How does it feel to be a father? And Phil said, well, it's like having a person come over and then never leaving your house. Which is basically the case with kids. They come and it's over. They move in forever. Hopefully they leave by the age of 35. You want them to like leave around 25, but 35 is good too. Maybe 35 is too long. If you were living in 60s and 70s, it would be like 18, right? So anyhow. So I was recently asked a question, and the question went along something like this. What is your greatest accomplishment? I had to think about this one a little on a deeper level. And when I actually remove everything from my life, most people, when you ask them that question, if I was going to ask you what's your greatest accomplishment, most people would be like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe accomplished. You did something with your hands. You built a business, career, something that has to do with, you know, life in general. But personally, for me, when I was answering this question, it wasn't hard to answer, because it really comes down to the values of what I really value truly in my life. And that is my family, my wife and my children. Nothing compares to it. Not a single thing that I've done, not a single thing that I do here or anywhere else in life, it cannot compare to my family. So I'm very big on that. And that is the reason why I have a really cool title for you this morning for this message. And the title is simply, In It to Win It. Now, I don't even know. This somehow came into my mind, but I remember hearing it somewhere. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was like a competition show or some movie or something, but I just know In It to Win It. It was something that just came to my mind when I was thinking about life in general and how we as people in life don't want to lose. Generally, nobody wants to lose in life, right? And I have not met a single person that says, I just want to lose in life, you know. I'm in this life, but I just want to lose. I don't care. Whether it's responsibilities, parenting, managing relationships, whatever, you are in it to win it. Even watching the athletes, and this last week was huge for this small, tiny country of Serbia, where I come from, because we have produced the greatest athletes of all time. And I know I always mention this, but I'll say it again. Djokovic, the tennis player, he is the best ever. Now he's the GOAT. He has a 23 Grand Slams, and nobody's ever going to pass him. And he's got all the records. But then, you guys know that I'm big in basketball. So, you know, our boys are into basketball. We take them to practices. We do the trainings. Luca is actually in a tournament in Toronto this weekend. And there's a lot going on with basketball, but basketball is one of my passions, and there's a lot that you can learn from basketball. But sports in general, when you look at the athletes, I don't know of a single athlete that pursues professional sports and they go in it with the mindset, I am going to lose. I'm going into this, I'm going to fight, I'm going to train from early morning to late night, I'm going to put my body to test, I'm going to push myself, I'm going to go on a special diet, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and do all these things to say, I want to lose. Not a single one of them. By the way, Denver Nuggets won a championship, Nikola Jokic was an MVP, he's the greatest Serbian player of all time. And there. So, there's one trait that makes all the real difference in life. And this one trait, I believe, is really, it separates the winners from losers. It separates the good people from bad people. It separates good relationships from bad relationships. And it's not the only one, but it's one of the most important traits that I believe in life that we should have. And I think it separates even from good parents, good dads, from bad dads, and good moms from bad moms, and on and on and on, and good relationships from bad relationships. And this trait is so important that we should always keep it in front of us, always talk about it, and always think about it. And that trait is simply this: intentionality. A trait that makes all the difference in life, being intentional. Have you ever heard of someone being intentional and then doing that, accomplishing that success, whether it's setting a goal, being intentional about it, accomplishing it, and making a difference in life? I believe that anything that people have ever accomplished in life was always intentional, whether it's a professional athlete that trains really hard, puts his mind in the right set, trains his body to accomplish a certain goal, is intentional. Whether it's you have some goals in life, you want to accomplish something, and you're like, okay, I'm going to set this goal, I'm going to pursue it until I get there, you are being intentional about it. And I know that the beginning of the year, usually it's the year when people are the most intentional, because, you know, it's all the goals that we want to do, all the things we want to accomplish in a year. But then June comes. And June is a good month. We're in June right now. June is a good month to go back and review your, what do they call them? New Year resolutions. How far are you in? Did something happen? Are you still intentional about those resolutions, or are you just kind of like, well, you know, first 3 months, that was it for me. You know, first 4 months. So it is a trait that makes all the difference. And being intentional, really, is about living with a purpose. That's what it is. And this is my big idea. It's kind of summarize everything in this one sentence. In life and relationships, our victories are forged by our intentions. In life and relationships, our victories, I'm not talking about losses, I'm talking about victories and things that we want to see accomplished, things that we want to see come to pass in life, they're forged by our intentions. And I really believe that winning in life, if you want to win in life, if you want to live as a parent, as a father, as a mother, if you want to win as a husband, get some brownie points, husbands, any husbands in the house, brownie points over here. Any wives want to get some brownie points on their husbands? Do they call them brownie points still, or there's something else now? I think brownie points are pretty good. The big question is, how intentional are you as a person? How intentional are you as a father? How intentional are you as a mother? How intentional are you as a friend? How intentional are you as a Christian? Ooh, that's a deep one. How intentional are we as Christians? Everything that we do as Christians should be about intentions. Our relationship with God it should be intentional. It should be something that we do out of intention. We want to have or pursue a relationship with God. Taking action, being proactive, not just reacting, but actually doing something with intention, having your mind and your emotions engaged and being intentional about it. And being intentional enables us to craft a life that truly reflects our deepest values and our deepest aspirations. I don't know if you have any values in life. You probably do. I don't know if you have any aspirations in life. You probably do. But those will only be realized in life if we're actually intentional about them. You can say, well, my value in life is I want to teach my children to forgive. To forgive. I want my kids to be forgiving. But then you're in a house with your spouse, and your kids are sitting there eating cereal in the morning, and you're fighting with your husband or wife, and you're having a hard time forgiving or letting go. But your kids are watching you, and you want to teach them about forgiveness. Or it could be really anything else that's happening in your life. It could be a workplace. It could be really anywhere. Or you have some aspirations. I want to become something. My greatest aspiration in life, I want to be a great leader, which means I want to be a great father, I want to be a great husband, I want to be a great leader in church, outside of church, I want to be a great leader. So if I want to be a great leader, I need to be intentional about that. I really truly need to be intentional. So it is really this intention, and why I'm talking about this intention so much, because I'm building up to something that I'm going to give you now very soon. But I believe it's being intentional, is being purposeful, is having a plan, not just behaving aimlessly, reacting to circumstances, but actually taking specific goals and actions towards achieving whatever we want to achieve in life. And it should shape everything in our life, and it should align with our values and aspirations. So it is a very important trait, being intentional and thinking about it. One of the most intentional verses in the scripture about parenting is found in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in a way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is not a promise. This is a principle. All the Proverbs are a lot of principles that we can apply to our life. And because it's a principle, we should be doing this intentionally. It says, train up a child. This includes an action. And it could be something that we have to do, we have to be intentional about. Because if we don't do it, and if we're not intentional about it, what's going to happen, our children are going to depart from our ways and what we want to teach them, if we're not intentional. And I think what happens a lot when kids, and I've seen it many times, this is an assumption, it's just my own observation, looking at life. If children walk away from the way that the parents have intended them to follow, I think it's got a lot to do with the way that we talk and live and the way that we actually live. You see what I did there? Using an example of parents fighting and not forgiving each other, but then kids are there watching. Or preaching something but not actually living it out. Or maybe, which is even harder, and I think that's probably the hardest thing, and that's probably why a lot of this happens, is because both of the parents are not on the same page when it comes to being, teaching the values, and actually living out this life with intention. This is what we're going to do together. When you have only one parent fighting for something, the other parent is either present or not around or just checked out or not even there, you have a single parent, then it's really hard to live this out, to train up a child in the way that they should go. So, before I go anywhere else, our God, a God that loves us, cares about us, and has a purpose and plan for our life, is an intentional God. He's very intentional. He's very loving. He's very caring. From the very beginning, God's intention was to create us and have a relationship with us. Now, God's intention was always good, but then sin entered into the world, And then bad intentions entered into the world because of sin. And that's where everything starts falling apart. That's where relationships break. That's where hurt comes in, the pain, the suffering, the breakups, and all the other things that we see happening in our world today. So God's plan and his intention was always good. And to this day, it's still very good for you and me. Matter of fact, the reason we're sitting here today is because Ephesians 1, chapter 1, it says that he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight before the formation of the world. Jeremiah talks about how he was chosen before the world was created. And in 1 John, it says that we love because he loved us first. God loved us first, and that's why we're sitting here this morning. And I'll tell you one other thing why we're sitting here this morning is because God was intentional in creating relationships in our life that brought us to this point. We all had someone in our life that has pushed us, encouraged us, spoke over us, and guided us. You know, certain people at a certain time that came into our life that brought us to where we are today. In my own life, it was my own father. And that really played a huge role in my life because he was really instrumental. He was very intentional when it came to my faith and my development. But also, he was very intentional about teaching me about life. So what my dad would often do, he would take me places that kids were not allowed to attend. Kids were not supposed to be a part of those events. Whether it's church meetings where it's all gray hairs and I'm the only kid there. Or whether it's, whatever. He would just take me places. I remember this one time when there was a tournament at church. Not the church. It was people from the church that created a team. It was a soccer tournament, and I was just a little kid. I was playing rep, but I was only like 11, 12. And my dad and the adults and all the church, they created a team, so they were going to go in this tournament to play. And I remember I asking my dad, can I go play? And he looked at me, he said, well, you know, like, you're too young. This is not really for kids. But sure, why don't you come? Somehow, I don't know how he got me to play. I was actually playing a tournament with adults. I was this kid, the only kid there. We didn't win in the end, you know. It was all my fault. But man, did I learn so much that weekend from just the teamwork, the development, talking to people, how not to talk to people. There were some Christians there that were, after that event, I was questionable whether they were even Christians, just the way they were talking, the way they were going about in this tournament. Long story short, that one weekend, I learned a lot about life. Just because my dad was very intentional about bringing me on board and involving me in this event. So God is intentional. He wants us to be intentional. And I believe that our intention, us being intentional, is more important than even our IQ and how smart we are. Because we can accomplish a lot more in life by being intentional than being smart. I've met a lot of people that have done great things in life because they were intentional. I'm one of them. Not smart, just intentional. And loving. So, what's important for the parents and people in this place this morning that have kids and have the next generation that's coming up and rising up? You may not be a father, you may not even have kids, and that's okay, but you can be an example this way, because the next generation, the kids that we pray for here this morning, every morning, is they are watching us, and they are observing us. And what we need to do, because they're watching us, we need to make it a priority to be intentional, but also to attend to their spiritual needs. And what that takes, it takes effort and dedication. And I believe that as parents, as a father or a mother or an overseer, caregiver, you are one of the greatest influences in your child's life. There's nothing else in this world that can influence a child more than a parent, father, mother, or both parents together, or the caregivers. So, started with the Proverbs 22, but I'm going to now move on to a verse where we see Timothy, send Timothy, in the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Apostle Paul is referring to Timothy, and he's speaking this. He's saying this in the verse 5. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and I am confident that now lives in you also. So this is what Timothy is saying. Paul is saying to Timothy. He says, because of your mom and grandma. Now, I did some research, and I didn't even know this. It's kind of cool observation. Actually, his dad was a Christian, and then he was a martyr. This is not a part of the scripture. What happened is, because they became Christians, his dad was martyred. He was killed because he was speaking against the gods and all these things. So Timothy was in care of his grandmother and his mother, sort of like a picture of today's society, pretty much, because we live in a fatherless society, where a mother and a grandmother tend to a child, and they take care of Timothy's spirituality and faith. They really are intentional about it. And Apostle Paul says that. He says, I see your faith, but I believe that you have it because of what your mom and your grandmom did. And I stand on that. And in verse 13, he talks about, now, in between the verses 5 and 13, he talks about his own journey, Apostle Paul. But then he finishes off with this, and I think this is going to be a very good lesson for all of us this morning. He says this, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, guarded with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. When we become Christians, we have a gift of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life that helps us, guides us, counsels us, but also guards, and this is a big word, guards the good deposit that has been intentionally put in our life by our caregivers, by our parents. This is a good advice that we can give to our children and say, guard the good deposit and good values that I'm entrusting you with. Values about loving, forgiving, and all the Christian values that we talk about and teach about in church and that we read in the Bible. He said, basically, this has been entrusted to you, and now you are to guard it. What's amazing to me, because Timothy was one of the most influential leaders in the early church. He was Apostle Paul's like protege. He was a guy who led the church. But Apostle Paul, it was like, I think Apostle Paul kind of thought of him as his own kid, you know, and he really cared about him. He really wrote all these amazing things to him. But the reason why he was such an influence, made a profound influence in the early church, was because of the good deposit that his mom and his grandmom put in his life. I'm sure Apostle Paul had a huge role in his life and was guarding him of how to behave, what to do, and all this stuff. But the main thing was his parents and grandparents were very intentional about his faith. And that teaches us that we are to be very intentional about faith of our children and their values. So, to move on, because we don't have a lot of time. Here's five areas that I want to share with you this morning that fathers need to be more intentional about. Now, if you're a single mom, you can just scratch the father on your list and you can say mothers need to be more intentional about. Or caregivers, grandmothers. There's a lot of grandmothers that care about their grandkids. But here's five areas that I believe are very important. Now, if there is a father present in a house, in a marriage, in a family, with a mother, this, I would say, falls mainly on the father as the leader, as the head, and as the role that God has entrusted father to play in a household. And I have five P's I'll leave with you this morning that I really believe are important. Now, there's probably a lot more things, But I think we start with these five, and we refer to these five in the time going forward. I think that we will accomplish a lot. Five P's. Fathers. P-H. Can we spell father with P-H? That'd be kind of cool, eh? When I was younger, somebody called me fat, and they said fat, not fat F, but P-H-A-T, which means pretty hot and tempting. Okay. Now, here's five areas that P-H-A-T-H-E-R-S need to be more intentional about. And here's the first one. Pastoring. So, you're a father, you're sitting here this morning. Did you know that you're a pastor in your home? I know that you haven't taken a license out with Anchor, and you haven't taken a license with anybody else. And you think, well, you know, maybe I need a Bible college and degree and diploma to be a pastor. No, you don't. Being a pastor, really, this word pastor, if you look at the scripture, is someone who cares for the flock, tends to the needs of the sheep. In this case, pastoring is more to a spiritual need of a home. In Ephesians 6:4, it says this. Now, Ephesians is a great book if you want to learn about parenting and being a good husband and wife. But in Ephesians 6:4, it says this. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It says here, fathers. This is not a responsibility of a mom, although the mother does do this as well. This is not a responsibility of a grandmother, although the grandmother does it as well, like we've seen in Timothy's case. Fathers. Talk about being intentional. Bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. So, pastoring is tending to the spiritual needs of the home, training them and teaching them about the Lord. I love the example that Pastor Ken uses a lot, and we watched it in a documentary as well. For those of you that were there for the 50th anniversary, when his dad made a comment to him and he said, Kenny, God is going to make himself real to you. And Pastor Ken has mentioned that in his sermons 50 years of his ministry. But how important it was in a development of who Pastor Ken was as a person and where he is today, that God was going to make himself real to him personally. And just because his dad was intentional, that made a huge impact in his life and brought him to this point. So, we as fathers, as we're intentional about pastoring our children, we are to be intentional about their spiritual life and talk to them about spiritual things and do the spiritual things around them and teach them about spiritual things and on and on and on. It's not our job is not only to just wake up on a Sunday morning and take them to church. That's not a job of a father. That's not the only job. That's one of many jobs, but the main job is at home from Monday through Saturday. And how you pastor and how you take care of the spiritual needs of your children, how you teach them, how you develop them, how you grow them, and how you talk to them about spiritual things. When they see us discussing spiritual things, asking them questions about it, when they see us studying the Bible, when they see us actually reading the Bible, when they see us actually having a spiritual conversation with your wife or talking to them about, you know, or doing a little devotional with them and asking them, how does this speak to you? What do you think God is trying to say through this? And on and on and on and on. So the first role, responsibility of a father, where we need to be more intentional, is this pastoring aspect. The second thing is very close to this, and it is praying. Fathers are to be the main prayer warriors for their household. And this is very hard for men because men, in general, don't talk much. and we need to learn how to talk and converse. But it also applies to our spiritual life, because we don't talk too much, we don't pray too much, and then kind of we're not really doing our job. But we are to pray, because why do we need to pray as fathers? Because one thing that I've seen in my life over the years with my parents is, first, when my mom passed away about 9 years ago, 8 years ago, I felt the spiritual weight, and I felt the attacks in the spiritual, because I know that she was praying for me a lot. Now, my dad passed away last year, and I can feel it even more now. Like, there's a spiritual battle going on, and the prayers of my parents, they're not there in physical anymore. I'm sure they're praying for us up in heaven. But there's something that happens when we as parents pray for our children. It is actually, I've said this before, I'll say it again, the most powerful prayer for the children are the prayers of their parents. Because they've been entrusted as a spiritual covering. We have the covering over our family. So our prayers are more important and more powerful than your pastor's prayers, than even my prayers. Because God had entrusted your children to you, and you are the one to have a job to cover them in prayer. Why do we need to do this? Because the enemy does not take a day off. Did you know that? Did you know that the enemy of our souls does not book a last-minute deal, goes to Cuba, sits on the beach for 2 weeks, bathing in the sun, enjoying the ocean, not caring about life, and then gets back to it 2 weeks later? Did you know that he doesn't do that? Matter of fact, the enemy doesn't take a vacation to Mexico, Cuba, any of those places. He wants to take a vacation in your home. He wants to come to your house and disrupt everything. He wants to come unannounced, usually. He wants you to open the door so he can come and sit in your living room and just give you all kinds of chaotic circumstances that you, and pressures of life that you just don't know how to deal with. And he wants to keep doing this, and he wants to keep doing this, and he works overtime and overtime, and he's not sleeping. He's working. He's always working. He's always trying to disrupt. He's always trying to bring the pressure and the stress and another thing after another thing and after another thing. But the good news is this. God doesn't take a vacation either. God doesn't take rest. He works overtime too. And God is actively working as we also partner with him through prayer. So, because the enemy is always trying to get to us, to our emotions, pressures of life, that he's trying to distract us from what really matters. He's trying to discourage us. It's my job as a father, as a mother, as a caregiver, to cover my family in prayer. It is my job to cover them in prayer. You know, there's no greater weapon that we have been given, entrusted by God, than prayer. Spiritual weapon. So we are to keep praying for our family, for our children. The third thing that the father does well, if he's a part of the home, is providing. Now, providing, when we say providing, we usually think about material things and things that, you know, food and clothes and all that stuff, and that's a big part that the fathers are to provide. But we are to provide in many other forms as well. We're to provide wisdom, spiritual wisdom. We are to provide not just the money, but emotionally we are to provide. We're to provide spiritual. We're to provide intellectually, socially, social skills. We're to provide to the individual needs. We're to provide in many ways as fathers. It is such an important part of being a father and being the head. And in the Garden of Eden, God's intent was for us to really enjoy life. And how I know that is I go to Garden of Eden, I see how God created Adam and Eve, he gave them all the beauty and splendor, and he told them, enjoy, do whatever you want, do the favorite things you want to do, just enjoy life, just don't do one thing. And then they did the one thing they weren't supposed to do, and then everything kind of went down the drain there. But when God gave instruction to Adam, he gave instruction to Adam. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there is no scripture that refers that Adam actually took that information and shared it with his wife. So it was his responsibility to provide that to the woman. He didn't provide that information. So she just went ahead and did what she was not supposed to do. But he did not provide what he needed to provide. And that was also a part of it. So fathers are to provide. And the fourth thing is fathers are to protect. Protection is a huge part. I know that we will say it again, one of the greatest human needs is love. We all desire to be loved and to love and to be loved. But, and we know that only God can fulfill that. But one of the greatest human needs besides love, I believe, is protection. And we as parents, as guardians, as fathers, we are to protect our family from harm, from people that are not there to bring, give the good influence into our children's lives. We're to protect our children from evil talk, from evil conversations, from all kinds of ideologies that the culture is trying to push on our children. We as fathers, we are to offer protection to our family. And if something is out of line or something is happening, we are the ones to step in and protect and say, no, this is not the way it's supposed to be. We are the ones to teach and preach the truth to our children. And therefore protect their little minds, protect their little souls, so that they can be a garden that God intended it to be from the very beginning. A garden that's going to bear much fruit. I love the example of when you're driving, not so much driving, but the bulletproof vest. I don't know if you've ever seen how that works, but when the police or special police goes to extract some sort of action, whether it's a drug deal or they're going to bust some bad guy, usually all of them have protection and it's bulletproof vest, right? And the intention of the bulletproof vest is to protect from the bullets, right? That's the only thing that it does. So when the bullets start flying, nothing happens. Nobody gets hurt. So that's kind of like the analogy that I like to use for us being protectors. Like, bullets will be flying all the time around our family and our children. But we as fathers, we have the responsibility to take those bullets and kill those bullets and not let those bullets come near the heart of our children. We are to protect our children from that. Protect them also from the things of this world, like greed, wanting more money and wanting more money and not having enough, pride, which is the beginning of all sin, lust, which in the scripture is talked about a lot, and on and on and on. We have the responsibility to protect our children from these things. And then the fifth thing that the fathers should do well, or single moms in this house, or caregivers, is be present. Present. There's another P. P. I love the shirt that someone made a while back about being a father is 99% of being a father is just showing up. Have you ever seen that? 99% of being a father is just showing up. Just showing up, saying, whether it's being, I tell my boys, I'm coming to the game. I'm not going to make something else more important. I'm just going to be present. I'm going to be present, not only physically, We have a lot of absent fathers. But not only physically. Physically is very important. Sometimes my kids, I mean, they really want me to play with them all the time. Like my little Zion, when I'm around, Tata, come play. Tata, come here. Tata this, Tata that. He calls me Tata. It's like a nonstop. And there's times when I have time and I will just, intentionally, I'm just going to leave everything aside. I'm going to go play with him, intentionally. It's like, what do you do with an hour that, okay, I finally have an hour to rest. And then your kid comes and he wants to play. And you're like, okay, I'm going to use this hour to be present and intentional with my child. Not being physically only present, but being emotionally present. Ooh, that's a big one. Oh, especially for the fathers. I'm not going to go too deep into this because I'm just going to dig myself a hole and it's not going to be good. But emotionally present is very important. I'm still working on this. It's really hard. But to actually be in the moment, when you're actually in the moment physically, but then your emotions are actually there too. Wow. It's like, I don't know how you call this, but it's like you just want a jackpot, like $300 billion. You know, it's like the most important thing you can give to your family, to your children, and to your wife or your spouse. Being present physically and emotionally. Being in the moment, not just leaving your children hanging, but actually deciding to be present. It's a huge part of what it means to be a father and what it means to be a good parent. You know, I think because of this present issue, we have a lot of other issues in our culture with the children and the crime and things that are happening in the world. It's happening a lot because parents are not there and fathers are not there present. Therefore, kids run and do whatever they want. But when we have the present fathers, when we fix that, everything else just falls into place. And yeah, sometimes it's going to get messy and there's going to be things that will come up and things are not going to maybe go as planned. Unexpected things always happen, but being present is, it's like, it's a starting point for it all. Be present. Be there for your children. Be there. When you're there with your children, when you actually want to play with them, be with them and just with them. And I know we can get distracted a lot nowadays with technology and all that stuff. But decide to say, you know what, I'm going to be intentional about being with my parents, because the greatest difference that's been made in my life as I was growing up with my family was the moments when my parents and my dad was intentionally present with me. Those were the most transformational moments of my life. And I honestly believe that for all of you listening this morning and all of us sitting and being here this morning, it's going to change everything. When we become more intentional, when we become more intentional about these things that I shared, when you really say, okay, let's look at my life and let's analyze. When you maybe come to the end of your day, you say, okay, how intentional was I today as a father? Or how intentional was I today as a mother? Or as a husband? Or as a wife? Was I intentional enough or was I not intentional enough? Oh, I'm so glad that God never gives up on us. And he keeps on giving us a chance after chance after chance. If only people will get on with that. But God is a good God and gives us chances. And it's never too late to become intentional. The first and foremost, become intentional with your own personal relationship with God. And develop that and work on that, because everything will kind of flow out of that. All the other relationships kind of flow out of that. So we can still make a difference in our children's lives, even if they have grown up and moved out and moved on. We can still make a difference, even if our children are not talking to us, which is really hard. But with these things that I've noticed, that I've laid out here, praying is a big one. You can still be praying for a child if the child doesn't talk to you. But we are to do these things. We're to be intentional, not just let it go. We can still make a difference. It's never too late. I want to challenge you this morning. There's a little challenge for you to ask God, where does He want you to live intentionally? And then be present and listen as He speaks to you. When those words come to you, don't dismiss them, but pray about them and say, from now on, I want to set a goal, I want to set a plan, I want to live with purpose. I want to be intentional about this or about that. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better co-worker. I want to be intentional. I want to live like that, because that is how we win in life, when we are intentional. Let us all stand. I want to pray for you. If you're in it to win it, you're going to have to start here. I'm going to be more intentional in my relationships and in my life. And I know that I'm going to see the victories as I do that more often. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. If you want to be included in the prayer, you can raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Father God, I thank you for everyone this morning. I thank you for speaking to us through your word, and for encouraging us to be more intentional about our life. Not to just let life pass us by, and not to just react and just do things habitually, but to actually be very intentional, because you are intentional with us, God. You're a very intentional, personal God. And we want to be the same, Jesus. So this morning, I pray you help us to be the people that will be more intentional, to put our mind, our effort, our emotions, our heart, to be more intentional, Jesus. Help us. Help the fathers in this house this morning to be more intentional with their kids. Help the mothers to be more intentional. The caregivers, help us all to be more intentional, especially with the next generation that's coming up, because we want to teach them the values that we find in your scripture, in your word. And may your word be foundational, Jesus, in everything that we do. May we never make a decision without your word in our lives, God. Help us, God, to really follow you, to really seek you, to have you work on our hearts and our lives, and whatever it is that you need to do in our life, God, just come and do it right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Deposit your life, deposit your strength, and deposit your wisdom in our lives as we're open to receive and to live like this. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says,